It is from Romans chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in the condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." They said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." He told them this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says, the old is better. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, our prayer this morning is that you'd show us ourselves as we really are. And Lord, show us our Saviour, we ask, in your saving name. Amen. Please be seated. So Luke chapter 5, the call of Levi, page 1033. There's something profoundly unsettling and profoundly thrilling about that little cameo about Jesus meeting with Levi. A true incident in the life of Jesus. It's unsettling because it's one of the first times when we see Jesus meet a man who is distinctly dodgy. He's a middle-class bloke working in finance, who liked a good time. And we say to others, surely not a likely person to follow Jesus. Yes, unsettling, but thrilling, because out of the blue, someone who is a social pariah becomes a leader and world-class writer. He becomes an apostle of Jesus Christ. He he would become a contributing author to the world's bestseller, the Bible, the Gospel of Matthew. Levi's life was totally renovated. His Jewish name, Levi, but also known as Matthew. And this short incident helps us answer who is Jesus and why did Jesus come? It's clear from the Old Testament, sin entered the world with Adam and Eve's disobedience. Satan whispers to them, denying the goodness of God, the truthfulness of God, and the otherness of God. And going their own way, sin and death reigned. The first Adam, who we are inheritors of, brought all that on us as well. But also there's Jesus Christ, who's called the second Adam, because divine and human, he comes to renew the whole of life. And where we fail, he was one who was going to succeed and be victorious. This world, each of us, our lives are shaped by two representatives, the first Adam, and if we look to Jesus, we're shaped by the second Adam, who's come to be our Saviour. We are born into Adam's kind of life. We're offered the opportunity to be born again into true life. We can't climb out of a pit on our own. That's why Jesus came down to this earth, because he was a friend of sinners. He came as a second Adam. Romans 5, verse 17, we're enabled to receive, he says, God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness. Do you notice Jesus' mission statement? Luke 5, verse 31 and 32. It's not the healthy you need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's the reason for the incarnation and the cross, why Jesus died. He came to call the sick. He was a spiritual doctor to meet our greatest need. Jesus came to call people living without God back to God. And what Luke tells us should shock us. Verse 27, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. We've heard about tax collectors. We're not as shocked as Levi's contemporaries would have been by those words of Jesus. Tax collector, the very name would arouse disgust and distrust. When I first came here, there was somebody who's now died who used to look after one of the parish trusts. I went to his house to meet with him and the other trustees, and I said, how long have you lived here? And other questions. And I said, oh, what do you do? He smiled and said, I work for the Inland Revenue. Well, it's a respectable profession in this country, but in the ancient world, it certainly wasn't. Disgust and distrust would come as soon as you heard the name a tax collector, not the smiling bureaucrat who tells you he works the Inland Revenue. No, they were hated and corrupt collaborators, exacting tax for Romans. They were invaders, Romans, who therefore they were compromising with the enemy. And what did tax collectors do to you then? They humiliated you, they fleeced you, they hassled you. They were so untrusted, they were barred from entering the law courts and barred from the synagogue because they were permanently ceremonially unclean because of their work. There's a myth that Christianity is for nice people. But the truth is the exact opposite. Christianity is for those whose lives are a pigsty, a mess. Christianity is only for bad people, which is all of us if we judge ourselves by God's standards. Well, Levi got up and left everything and followed Jesus. And verse 29, he held a great party, a banquet for Jesus. It was a party which was awash with low life of the Galilean underworld. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law, verse 30, complained to Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" Sadly, the Pharisees had no real sense of their own sin, and they falsely thought they were righteous, so they missed out on God's abundant provision of grace. There was a vicar who was converted on October 19th, 1851. He was the vicar of Baldhoo in Cornwall. I have his biography in my study. It's a most amazing story because he talks about how he came to understand the gospel. Let me read you what he says in his biography. "I went into the pulpit and gave out my text, 'What think ye of Christ?' As I went on to explain the passage, I saw the Pharisees and scribes did not know that Christ was the Son of God or that he was come to save them. I don't remember all I said, but I felt a wonderful light and joy come into my soul. And I was beginning to see what the Pharisees did not. Whether it was something in my words, my look or manner, I know not. But all of a sudden, a local preacher who happened to be in the congregation stood up and, putting up his arm, shouted in a Cornish manner, 'The parson's converted! The parson's converted! Hallelujah!' And in another moment, his voice was lost in the shouts of the praises of 300 or 400 of the congregation. Instead of rebuking this extraordinary brawling, as I would have done in former times, I joined in the outburst of praise, and to make it more orderly, I gave out a doxology, 'Praise God from whom all blessings flow.' And the people sang it with me, with heart and voice, over and over again." Listen to what he says, because it's a religious, churchy people who exclude themselves. He says, "Many churchmen were dismayed, and many of them fled from the building. Still, the voice of praise went on and was swelled by numbers of passers-by who came into the church, greatly surprised to see and hear what was going on. When this subsided, I found at least 20 people crying for mercy, whose voices had not been heard in the excitement and noise of thanksgiving. Among this number, there were 3 from my own house. We returned home praising God." The religious people there excluded themselves because they didn't recognize their need. And that's still true today in our churches. We need to realize our need. There are some people for whom Jesus can do nothing because they think they are morally and spiritually healthy. Our judge and great examiner will simply declare at the end, pass or fail. And we need to recognize our own spiritual need. The Lord Jesus, as doctor, comes from morally and spiritually sick. In church this morning, perhaps in the choir, perhaps elsewhere in the building, or even in the church centre this morning, there are only 2 types of people. There are forgiven bad people and unforgiven bad people. And the pride of self-righteousness is ultimately fatal. Verse 31, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Reason Jesus was called from heaven, reason he went to the cross to die in our place, was so we could be saved. And to continue with the image of sickness, sin-sick humans do not infect Jesus. He was the second Adam, the one who was truly God and had true sinless humanity. And he takes a battle on our behalf. There's a party, the underworld are there with those who've received God's mercy. Jesus is there because the judgment they deserved has been removed from them. There are some really big shocks to each of us this morning to grab hold of. One is, the real Christian is simply a sinner forgiven by Jesus. And the real Christian, when they are saved, healed, from then on live for Jesus. Jesus said to Levi, follow me. We say, who does Jesus think he is to say that? The truth is, he's God come to earth. He said such outrageous things. I've come to call sinners to repentance. And repentance, friends, is a change word. Turning our back from living without God and living instead under his authority. And this man Levi leaves everything. Obviously he had a bit of wealth because he had that big party in his house. He lost the security he had in following Jesus, but begins an adventure of faith. In a spiritual sense, he was an heir to a fortune. A sinner forgiven by Jesus is one who from that moment on lives for Jesus. Unconditional acceptance by him is returned in unconditional surrender by us. The good news, as I finish, perhaps there's somebody like this today who would like to speak to me or one of us about that afterwards. The good news is that people who've messed up, who mess up, are God's special subjects. He wants to help you, as he's helped me and others here. Amen.